You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. California's COVID-19 pandemic has evolved tremendously since it began in March. But one thing that hasn't changed is that residents of nursing homes remain particularly at risk. Here to give us an update on how the elderly in these homes are faring is FM89's health reporter Carrie Klein with our weekly COVID-19 update. Carrie, welcome.
Hi, thanks, Kathleen.
So before we delve into nursing homes, let's begin with a general overview of what's happened in the San Joaquin Valley in the last week.
All right. Well, it is still hard to tell what's happening with our weekly and daily numbers. They fluctuate a lot. Daily new cases being reported. They aren't falling in any significant way, but it's tough to tell if they're still surging the way they had been for a number of weeks. So that's possibly good news. On the other hand, for the second week in a row now, there is some good news, which is that hospitalized cases seem to be easing. They seem to be dropping a little bit, although ICUs are still quite full. Health officials across the valley now have started another big push, and that's for vaccinations, particularly flu. Now, flu season doesn't typically start until around October, but pharmacies and clinics are starting to receive their flu shots for the season now, and people are being encouraged to take that. That's because vaccinations, you know, they prevent other epidemics and pandemics, and there are a lot of parallels between COVID-19 and flu here, not just, you know, symptoms and infectiousness, but also that the flu does hospitalize a lot of people every year. And so the more people that we can keep out of the hospitals with the flu, the more we can keep beds open for those with COVID-19. That's what health officials are saying. And of course, you know, as most of us already know, this is really only one health crisis that we're facing or that we could be facing simultaneously with COVID-19 this fall. I mean, the state is on fire right now. We've got people being evacuated out of homes. There's smoke blowing into communities around the state. This is a very bad time for health right now all around.
Absolutely. It certainly is. So as usual, can you just walk us through what's happened in each county in our coverage area?
Sure. Yeah. So in Fresno County, daily new cases are varying a lot, but they're still quite high. In Kern County, you know, I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that the Board of Supervisors had approved a few million dollars to bring on 88 new nurses to work the ICUs and hospitals in that county. A number of those have already started. They all have contracts for 13 weeks, I believe. And even if hospitalization rates continue to drop, these hospitals still consider this an insurance policy in case cases surge once again later on. So this is a good thing that these nurses are starting there in Kern County. In Kings County, health officials there have not updated their website in a number of weeks, or at least when it comes to the data, the daily cases. And that's because of the state data glitch that had been reported a week or two ago. However, Kings County has resumed updating their website in the last week. So you can go there for updated numbers. In Madera County, they held a Q&A session earlier this week about returning to school. A lot of questions that parents have there in the county. That was held on the 18th, but there's a recording of it that's available on the Madera County Department of Public Health's Facebook page. You can watch that later. In Merced, they have also begun holding Q&A sessions every other Thursday. The first one was last night on the 20th, and the next one will be in 2 weeks. They'll be doing them every other week on Thursdays, and that's in Merced County. And then in Tulare County, more county offices are closing. This has been happening off and on due to not necessarily outbreaks, but just due to, you know, one or two reported cases among staff. And this week, the offices to close are the Visalia Child Welfare Services Office and the Dinuba Tulare Works and Child Welfare Services District Office there. And then there's Mariposa County, still maintains the lowest case incidence by far in our coverage area, and they've only had 6 new cases in the last week.
Thanks for those updates. As we said earlier, nursing homes were a cause for alarm very early on in the pandemic. What's happened in the months since this all began?
Unfortunately, a lot has happened, and it still is not really very good news. You know, cases and deaths in nursing homes aren't surging the way that they did very early on when the pandemic was completely uncontained. But there is still a steady stream of new infections and fatalities in our state's skilled nursing facilities. And so as of earlier this week, there had been 21,000 cases among the residents of nursing homes and 2,200 deaths. This is another instance, though, where you can get lost in these numbers without any context. Because what do you do with those numbers, right? But when you compare those to the total cases across the state, that number of cases is a little over 3% of all cases that have occurred in the state, right? 3%. But when you look at the deaths that have occurred in nursing homes, they amount to nearly 20% of all that occurred in the state. So that's 1 in 5 of all California's COVID-related deaths are taking place in nursing homes. That's huge.
So we had some particularly significant outbreaks at nursing homes here in the Central Valley. What's happened with those?
Okay, well, so, across California, there are around 1,200 nursing homes. And I should point out that at this point, Los Angeles County is the county with the worst outbreak so far. More than half of all deaths in nursing homes in the state have occurred in Los Angeles County. But there are some in our area that stand out as well when you look at the whole state. So when you look at, the outbreaks with the largest number of cases in skilled nursing facilities in California, 3 of the top 20 are located here in the Valley, and that's Cora Transitional Health in Fresno, Redwood Springs Healthcare Center in Visalia, and Hacienda Post Acute in Hanford. Those are among the biggest and also the deadliest. They have some of the highest fatality counts. And there's another nursing home, Kingston Healthcare Center in Bakersfield, that's also among the largest in the state, though they have not had the same fatalities that some of those other facilities have had.
Why are people in nursing homes so vulnerable to this virus?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that nursing homes are, they're these congregate living environments. They're people living in close quarters. They share these communal meals and activities. There's not much interaction with the outside world. And then also, of course, there's age. These folks are on the older end. Many have pre-existing conditions and diseases that prevent them from being able to take care of themselves at home or to be cared for by loved ones at home. And that might kind of predispose them to COVID-19.
But it's not just residents that are at risk, right? I mean, what about the workers?
Yeah, that is a really good question. And unfortunately, of course, workers are at risk of this too. They're being exposed. And so, according to state data, likely a few dozen workers have died of the virus, though the state is not sharing the exact totals right now for privacy concerns. But more than 14,000 workers have been diagnosed with the virus. So that is a huge number. And so that makes nursing homes an epicenter of the virus, according to Christoph Stremakis. He's director of market analysis for the California Healthcare Foundation.
That's a really big number. That means more than 10 workers for every one nursing home in the state. These nursing facilities are hazardous right now, and we need to make sure we get workers and residents equipment and testing.
His foundation wanted to know more than just what the data could tell us. And so they published a report last month after surveying workers in skilled nursing facilities. The survey was answered by more than 350 workers, and it asked about things like confidence in their facility's response to the virus, the demographics of the residents, and then their access to things like testing and equipment.
So you mentioned equipment. Just like in hospitals, workers in nursing homes need personal protective equipment. What did the survey uncover when it comes to access to PPE?
So there was some good news here that close to 80% of the respondents in the survey felt that their facility's PPE supply was adequate, and an even higher amount said that their facilities had the ability to quarantine or cohort people with the virus. But there is some interesting intersectionality in all of this data. So the survey also asked all of the respondents for the ethnic breakdown of the residents and their facilities. And in most categories, those who worked in homes where more than half of their residents were Black or Latino, they reported less access to testing and equipment and less confidence in their facility's response to the virus. Now, Stremakis wouldn't hypothesize why this disparity exists, but he said it clearly shows a problem, and it highlights that this virus really does disproportionately afflict people of color in and out of nursing homes.
We need to make sure that all facilities have equipment, supplies, and testing right now, but we need to be particularly concerned and vigilant to ensure that facilities that are serving majority of Black or Latino residents are also getting what they need.
So speaking of intersectionality, I imagine the disparities are a concern for the workers themselves as well.
Yep, you got it. And Stremakis stressed that with me as well.
The majority of nursing home workers are people of color, almost 60%. And more than half have income below 200% of the federal poverty level. That's about $40,000 for a family of three in California. And in a high-cost state like this, you're almost forced to work multiple jobs and work through an illness if your family income is around that level.
Well, Carrie, as always, thank you.
Thank you.